Abadi Ghani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner by way of the CEN Community Education Network by Rasha Keith Matsgani, who put this platform together. This is a educational net program, and we have a very special guest tonight. A friend of mine, an individual that is very, very important to the progress of Black Studies nationwide by being one of the former chairs of the Black Studies program, now Africana Studies at Cal State Long Beach. He's been also instrumental in going back and forth to Uganda, his home country, where he's taken to go and help the people back there, his family and friends and the community back there, where they have a lot of challenges in Uganda. He's going to talk a little bit about his experiences and what it's like to be in Africa, especially in Uganda. And he's going to also talk about how he sees the changes in Africana studies from where we started and to where it is now. Dr. Sinsala is one of the most strongest academicians that we've had. He taught literature, not only at Compton, at Cal State Long Beach, but also at Compton Community College and at Cypress Community College. And we are glad to have him here. He's a very personal friend, him and his wife. And his family. I've been to his home many times. This is one of the unique brothers that I'm deeply appreciative for him coming on the show. Dr. Sinsala, would you go ahead and just, if I left out anything, add anything that you want to add about your background, or just get into your conversation about how you see realities of going back to Uganda and going to Africa for people who want to repatriate. They're already talking about dual citizenship.
Yes. Thank you very much, Professor Amin-Ra. I don't need to go into anything important to introduce you to your own audience. Mm-hmm. They know you way more than I do. All I can say is that you are my inspiration, you are my mentor, you are my friend. when Amin-Ra says jump, I how high?
You must.
I don't like doing this at all. I told him. Why? Because I told him, look, I have been retired for the last 10, 15, maybe 20 years. I don't know. I am no longer a professor. I don't read books. I don't go to the library. You know, I'm just preparing to get out of here. You know, and I've been like you, Amin-Ra. Been busy with my grandchildren, and that's it, you know, that's it. But he told me I wanted to come at least once, and so I had no choice. Yeah, thank you. So what I'm going to do is, first of all, let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I am not going to touch African studies because I'm not part of the university. I have not been following what was going on there and everything. All I know is that Dr. Maulana finally, you know, retired, and that's all. So I'm not going to talk about that. But I'm going to talk about, this is what we agreed on, that for about 10 minutes, I'm going to talk about just myself and the last 3 years and what that means to me and what I want you guys to take out of that. Then for another 10 minutes, I'm going to talk about Uganda and some of the latest and stuff that is going on there, and especially, you know, what the regime of Donald Trump means to us in Uganda, and what his policy and how they are affecting us in a way. And then finally, I'm going to try and share with you guys, you know, what I'm doing, you know, with my time. Since I retired, and how I continue to contribute to the community, the dual community that made between me who I am, my community in Uganda and my community here in the United States. So, talking about the last 3 years, I want to talk to you guys about that because they have been very, very challenging. They have been very, life-changing. During those, 3 years, I caught COVID, and I have never been so sick in my life, And it came at a time when we all thought it was over. Well, didn't know. It's kind of like it caught me by surprise. But I want to bring it up because it also brought to me reality of what is important. For the first time, I realized that all the stuff that I was trying to get in my life, it's not really, all that, important. And it really oriented me to start to really focus on what is important in my life. I mean, all of a sudden I realized, there was food. My wife, cooked food. I had the money in my pocket to go to some of the best restaurants, available. I couldn't eat. I could not eat the food she cooked. I could not eat anything. It was, I've never been in that kind of situation where I can't eat because I love food. I had a very nice car in the garage. I just bought me a little nice Mercedes. Finally, we were able to afford the car. I've been driving I keep to, all of my life because I couldn't afford anything better. Finally, I was able to afford it. It was in the garage. And I couldn't drive it. Too sick to drive it. It was just in the garage. Okay. It's a lot of things, I had a cell phone, and I was even, it was kind of like in my lifeline. But like when I went to the bathroom, I had to tie this phone around my neck because I was scared. If I was in the bathroom and I fell down, I was not able to get up because I was not able, I lost balance. I was not able to walk. So when you're not able to walk, there's a whole lot of stuff you kind of do. And then finally you figure out, what to do. Where I said to myself, if I go through this, then I know, what it is that I really want to do with my life. I know what is important. So during those 3 years, in addition to that, my sister in Uganda lost her husband. My brother-in-law was a very, very important person in Uganda. And he happened to be, my relationship with him happened to be one of those where I knew him before he knew my sister. And so we were closer. A lot of people say that I was probably closer to my brother-in-law than I'm closer to my sister. That may be true, I don't know. But, he passed away. In addition to that, my sister lost her husband, and in the same month, within a week before the month was over, she also lost her son, her youngest son. So that was so hard for me. Not only for me, for myself, but also feeling, needing to support, my sister. And it was very hard. This young man left us with a daughter who is now about, what, 3, 4 years old. And we need to help the widow in terms of, he left a heart, that was in the Congress. We had to try and help and, finish it somehow, so forth. And again, about maybe 7 months ago, maybe 8 months ago, this is 20, 25, we just went through. My sister lost a house to farm. And so that was a very good concept. So, I'm really, spending a lot in terms of emotionally, financially, all the other kind of resources to be there, for my sister, because she is older than me, and she was always there, for me and for the rest of your family. What else? During those so during those 3 years, then as the result of getting as sick as I did, and I wanted to share this with you because I think it is important. I did what I thought was right at the time, and I would like to encourage all of you to think about doing it. That is something I did. I got ready. I started preparing myself for my final day. So I spent that time going to funeral homes, shopping for caskets, determining whether I want to be cremated or whether I want to be buried. In my case, I thought I've already been telling myself I want to be taken back to Uganda and be laid down for my last thing, next to my mother and my young brother. And I realized I need to make these preparations now. I can't leave that to my wife, And since, all this time I saw, transitioning can come any moment with hardly any warning, okay? But most importantly, I have 3 minutes on this before I move on. I got sick with another disease that I've never had before. For very, very long time, Amandwa and I and a whole lot of other people have been diabetic. And my diabetes set on in adulthood. It's called type 2 diabetes. People who type 2, we worry about our sugar going too high. So we watch what we eat, we watch how much sugar we put into our system and things like that. But my kind of diabetes is new. The Center for Disease Control has even so far refused to diagnose it and to, categorize it as a separate, pathology. Okay? I combine both the symptoms of diabetes number 2 and the symptoms of diabetes number 1, which only the young people get. Adults don't get diabetes number 1. Only, if you go for that, it means it's diabetes for child. Okay. So my life doesn't make sense because I can be with you and tell you, look, I just looked on my phone. And my sugar right now is too high. So maybe I need 1 or 2 doses of insulin to bring it down a little bit. An hour later, or maybe even less than that, I'll be saying, oh, my goodness, my sugar is too low right now. Do you have any candy? Do you have any piece of cake? Do you have some oranges? So it's up and down. And it's very, very difficult to figure out the logic of it. What makes it go down and what makes it, go up. But what I brought out of this is I'm just rolling with the punches. And I, determined to do my part, to be the best I can. Eat well, exercise, stay out of stress, okay? Get a lot of sleep. I don't particularly care how long I live, but I care a lot about the quality of the life I'm going to have in whatever time I have left. Whether I'm going to live another year or 3 years, I want to be the best of the life as I can possibly get. I want to enjoy my food. I want to enjoy being with my wife. I want to enjoy traveling. We just came back from This past year, we went to London, Scotland, Ireland. You know, those Irish people, they love Barack Obama. You know, my goodness. You see, nobody there is more Irish than Barack Obama. He been to the Bahamas, but you can't do this stuff and you can't enjoy it if your body is not in person. Okay? You can't go there when your knees are hurting, you can't sleep. And so I do all this stuff I'm talking about for no reason except to feel good and to be able to enjoy whatever part of life I still have left. And that's the message I want to send you guys. I look and I'm still looking at the people I'm talking to, and it seems to me that I'm the oldest. I don't think anybody who are listening to me is older than 8 a year. You know, I just turned 8 of this person. So I am where you guys are coming to listen to me, and I have been where you guys are. So I combine those two things. I have been where you are, and I am where you come. So you know, I have a lot to share with you, and I have a lot to tell you about where you guys are going. All right. Number two. The next, maybe I'll finish this in about very quickly in about 5 minutes or so, maybe 6, so we can start the discussion. Uganda. Right now, ever since Trump came into power, a lot of stuff is shaking on the country. Like I told you, I'm not a scholar. I have not been studying. I don't know all this stuff in detail. But my personal experience, for example, in Uganda, is in 1980, 1979, something like that. Yeah, my younger brother died of AIDS. The following year, his wife was diagnosed with AIDS. He left her with 4 children. Those children, my sister and I, my elder sister and I, helped her, you know, bring them up. They are now all grown ups, having very good, responsible jobs and positions. They have families, you know, of their own. But she could not probably have been able to do so, wasn't it, for the plans that previous US presidents had put in place, where the same medication and other kind of help to third world countries like Uganda. And she got on that, and she has been on it. And to this day, you know, she's alive. She has a, she's in a home of her own. She has a car, you know, and she's doing well. What is going to happen to people who get to be into her position? Because the first thing that Trump did when he became president of the United States was to cut off his aid, or, you know, so-called third world countries and stuff like that. So, you know, you're gonna, you know, you're trying to do without it. But I'm not there, I'm not exactly sure what is going on and so forth. But I'm just talking about how, in my own particular case, this aid helped us so much. And now it's gone. Other changes in Uganda. There's a new thing going on between Uganda and the US before Trump came aboard. And that was that now it is being about, I think it's about 2022. It is possible, not only possible, but encouraged to become both a dual citizen. I'm both a citizen of Uganda and a citizen of the United States. What happened before is that we came over here as a citizen of Uganda, and then after a while, in order to be able to take the full advantage of what is being offered to you, apply to become a citizen of the United States. But then what you then do, you say, well, you know, you're applying to become saying that you no longer want to be a citizen of Uganda. So they took away your citizenship of Uganda automatically. Okay. When you went to Uganda, you had to apply for a visa like every other foreigner, like every other, you know, US citizen, but not in Uganda. You could not open a bank account. You could not run a business in Uganda and so forth. So eventually, I guess there was some talk about it, and now it is established. Being a citizen of Uganda and the United States is kind of interesting because there is a really big up and an investigation into your background, the all kinds of you know, legal problems you might have been in. So you have to be squeaky clean before either country. You know, you get investigated on both sides. Uganda investigates you, the US investigates you. In addition to that, I think in East Africa, there is a move kind of like a backwards to what we used to have, where Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania used to be like one unit. They were separate countries and so on and so forth, but we acted like one. We had one currency. We had one postal service, you know, and a lot of companies, you know, just did the business throughout the three countries. And then, you know, then we became independent, and then that went out. But now it's coming back. So now, when I was renewing my passport for Uganda, I also became a citizen of Kenya and Tanzania. So I don't need, you know, I move into those countries, you know, as a citizen. Okay. And in addition to that, I'm also a citizen of the United States. Today is a Tuesday, and the day after tomorrow, there are elections going on in Uganda. And it's a whole lot of stuff going on. Museveni has been in power for, I don't know, since 1986. Okay. There is a lot of fear, you know, that he's getting old, that anything might happen, you know, to him. And if it does, and if his son that's coming, you know, takes over, you know, people are very afraid that things might become, you know, worse than they have been given his presidency. But now with the Donald Trump in the White House, there is also we are also afraid. We are asking the question, is it possible that what has happened in Venezuela might also happen in America? Is it possible that what's happening, what is threatening for him to do in Iran, you know, he also might try to do it in Uganda? I don't know. I have since Tamil asked me to do this, I've looked at this number of stuff and everything. And it looks like this fear is well grounded, it's well founded. You know, we do have water traps, you know, Donald Trump. We do have some deposits of oil in Uganda and of gold that has not been, you know, harvested and so on and so forth. And, you know, that might tempt him to take the same kind of steps. Is it going to happen again? But there are some of the things you guys might want to follow, you know, a little more closely and in more detail than some support. I did promise Samuel that I speak only for about half now. It is 6:32. I am going to stop here. But before I, you know, hand over the microphone or so, couple of things that I am doing right now. I am the president of the board of directors for Lula Washington Dance Theater. We're trying to help young people to steer them in the right way. I have been part of this organization probably all of, you know, since it started more than 40 years ago. And I'm proud to say that you look among all the young people that have gone through there, and we have had the lost person. By that, What do I mean? I mean that if a young lady who is 16, 18, dancing with that, with the role of Washington, is taking classes, is thinking about, dancing for, the community, for Kwanzaa, or dancing for the mayor, of Los Angeles, so going to, abroad like they do, they go to, China, the Russia, everything. It's not so much that this young lady is so morally good, and that's the reason why she doesn't, end up with a teenage pregnancy, or that's why if it's a young man, doesn't mean that they're so moral, and that's why they don't end up, using their gun stuff. But no. It's just that we put something else on her plate. We give her something else to do. She's just simply too busy, both physically and mentally, to even consider some of those other alternatives that other people will know, she might have been involved in had she had no other people. And that's where I feel so. I think that I'm making it a useful contribution for that, Dora Washington dance that and the rest of us who are with her are doing that. Okay. In addition to that, I cannot forget that I'm from Uganda. So I'm also a member of the board of directors of a place called Uganda Lambs, as Uganda Lambs USA, which takes young people, how to explain this. In a place like Uganda and many other African countries, when a young person's parents die, there are usually other people to take over. Like in my case, like I told you, both my young brother and my elder brother died, and the older first children. But then there was my sister, who is also a PhD, got her PhD here in the US, and came went over back to the college professor and myself, who took over these children. And we helped pay their school fees, their school supplies, their health, It also happens that some young person might lose their parent, and there's nobody like that to step in. And they're really orphans in the most profound sense of the word. And these are the people that we put together and gave this name, Uganda Lambs USA. We started out with about 85 young people. We have not been very lucky in terms of replacing them, because as they grow old, they're no longer children. And so we have to kind of like let them go and be on their own. But the need is there. And so if you are here and you're listening to me, I'm going to finish my presentation by crying out to you, please, please donate to Uganda Lab. If you are interested, contact me and then I'll tell you to after them how to donate. Thank you.
All right, then, Beats. Thank you for the presentation. Let me see if you have any. Judge, you have any questions for Dr. Sinsala? You want to let him know? You got to take yourself off mute.
Okay, yeah. So could you give me a little bit more about the dual citizenship you have?
So you're, in my case, I was here. And in my US passport expired, and I went to do what? To apply for, renew my passport. And then at the same time, while I was doing that, I was told that I was no longer a citizen of Uganda. Okay? So I had a choice to renew my passport as solely a citizen of the United States. Okay, and from there on, I'll be treated as any other person born in the United States. Not just here, but also in Uganda. In other words, non in Uganda, non-citizens of Uganda are not in allowed to do certain things. You cannot own property. You don't see the difficult. You cannot open a bank account. You cannot do this and you cannot do that. And when you arrive, when you go to Uganda, you have to, apply for visa. Just take on it. I didn't feel, that I wanted to be so disenfranchised. Okay. So now I had an option of becoming a dual citizen. I made an offer to become a dual citizen. And to be made a dual citizen is a process that you go through. It's almost like you're trying to become, get a job, like, say, in the army or in the FBI or something. They really dig into your past, especially, if anything over there, it looks like you are ever in trouble with the law.
Okay, but it's a long process, in other words. Brother Fareed?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, Fareed, I don't know if you remember him, Dr. Sensala, but he was one of the most active students on campus,
There we
Richard
go.
Fareed.
Yeah, it's
Go
been quite a while, Dr. Sensala, since I've
ahead.
seen you. Many, many moons. Yes.
I know, but you're still a little young.
Well, hey, I work on it. I remember you being a challenge to get in the class, especially you basically had everybody to the straight line. And later on, I recall and remember that and respect it very much.
Okay, thank
Very
you.
much.
Am I good to see you?
Positive images. You as well, sir. You as well.
Thank
Sorry I'm a bit late, but carry on. I just want to listen and feed
you.
off of it, if you don't mind.
Okay, then. Let me see. Ernest, you have any questions?
Well, not really, because I missed kind of the first portion, so was still trying to get the concept of what we're talking about. So I'm still kind of behind the curve here.
When you came in, what were you talking about? Do you remember?
No, because I missed about the first 5 minutes of your
Oh, you
presentation.
didn't miss it very much.
I missed the
You
most
started late
important part,
anyway.
so I could never get on track.
Right. Dr.
I
Sensato,
hear
can I ask a question?
you. Yes.
My question,
Wait.
again, I don't want to take. We know as students, because collectively we spoke and talked a lot and shared a lot at that time. We know what we got from the classes we took from you and Dr. Raw and the rest of the faculty. We know what we got out of it. And it was evident in how we start speaking and conducting ourselves and our visions about the world around us and all the things that we shared, the history, the culture, the respect for it, all of that came about during that period. If you don't mind, share just a few thoughts of how we as a collective youth and the things that you saw and the things you helped us with, how did it affect you to see the changes in the students around you?
Two things. Are you a parent?
Say that again?
Do you have kids?
Yes, I am a
Okay.
parent. Yes.
How old and how many?
She is 34 and just one daughter.
Okay. Let me hope that both are doing well. Because one of the things I noticed in my life, and I've shared with so many other parents, is that they listen to everybody else except their parents.
Okay.
So here I was a professor, and I'm trying to guide and the kids that you have, like, brother, they're the last to listen. I said, what would happen? I went to class in Long Beach, and I met this student. I brought him or her in my office. We spoke for half an hour. We laid out, the plan. I turned around. That student has graduated. I have both Professor Amina and myself. We have grad students that have gone on to take our place. They are tenured professors. They
Okay.
have doctorates. Okay? They just I listened to them, we gave them, the plan. And you don't know how much that it means.
Okay.
There is no teacher
Because you fixed
to
all
complain about. So let me tell you one quick story. Okay, if Anuwa will let me.
Feel ready.
Like,
Oh,
you two were
Felix.
there when I was talking about all the other things
Figured, did
that
you call?
happened
Oh,
during
it's
the
not.
Hold on for a minute, since I don't, hold on. Somebody's, we can hear their family in the background. Okay,
Then
go
I,
ahead,
maybe
go
it's
ahead.
me. I have to mute.
Okay.
How do I mute?
Okay,
How
go
do I
ahead. Go ahead,
mute?
please tell the story.
Please do. I'll figure out how to mute
Okay,
here.
okay. So, while I was in the middle of that, in the July of 2024, here comes my birthday. You know, my 80th birthday.
Okay.
I had no intention whatsoever to celebrate because I figured out I had nothing to celebrate.
Okay.
The only person I invited was Armin Ra, and he didn't even show up. Okay.
Okay.
He tells me he was in the hospital. Okay. So what I did was I told my wife, you know, never mind. Just take him to a nice restaurant. I'm going to order the biggest steak they have, you know, even if I have to pay extra money for the potato and the broccoli, never mind. We can do that. And he said, okay, so maybe can I invite my mother? He said, sure, your mom can, you know, join us. You know, she loves you more probably than you do, you know. And he says, okay, so can we invite this? Next thing we know, says, okay, here's what we go. Here's go to the restaurant. Finally, one that has got a nice room, 10, 12 people, book it, and we have a nice small party. You know, that didn't work out because we kept on thinking about more and more people to be. So we have a little house of a friend in Temecula. We say, you know what we should do? Let's have it at the house. And why? Because we're not going to have a party, and we don't want people are going to fear. Bid is having the 80th celebration, they're gonna want to come. So we
Yeah.
said, so let's have it over there. So we said, fine. We send out an invitation, and when invitation say, there are certainly people you have to invite, but that's okay because guess what? They're not gonna come. Why not? Well, Renee has got a family back east, South Carolina, her sister, New York, you know, and cousin and stuff. We invited them. Guess what? They were the first to say, we just bought the tickets to our now. I said, what? So then she has a family up north in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
We need to invite them. We don't invite them, they're going to be mad. We invited them, but you know, we didn't think they'd come. 2 days later, they say, we just booked a van. We are all driving down to the back. She, my wife, father said, look, I'm not having a birthday. You know what happened? They told her,
But
you don't give Bid a birthday on his 80th birthday. We will, because he's coming down.
with what
Where
with without her?
you going to go? We don't care. But we're coming down. So this really went on, and eventually we had 80 people, 80. Can you imagine? So you asked me, what did I get out of TikTok?
Yeah.
I got this thing called, I that thing made me realize people love me. People care about
Okay.
me. You know, and it's all has something to do with my job and how I do it. I have met so many people who are my students. When
That's right.
I go to the post office, when I go to the bank,
That's
when I
right.
go to, I was in West Africa, and I, you know, this water, I had to leave this country to meet with what's the singer, you know, the blind singer, but,
Stevie?
Stevie Wonder.
Mm.
I am there minding my business. This girl comes to me, hugs me, and says, Dr. Sessa, I have a student at Palisade Long Beach in West Africa. I said, what's going on here? Oh, I am dating Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder and I slept under the same roof. They go to Mercedes-Benz all around. See one that's sitting in the back seat. He said, "Come on, let me introduce you, Stevie.
Nice.
Professor so-and-so."
Nice.
So that's what I got.
Okay.
But let me tell
Okay.
you about the disappointment. The money.
Oh.
The money. We never got paid. I don't think we ever got paid what we deserve. When you compare what you made to other people who went through the preparation, went through, and who did the work that we did through, we never got what we deserve.
Okay.
Many of my students came to me. I showed them the way. They did what I told them to do. Next thing you know, they are coming back to show me their fancy BMWs and the Mercedes-Benzes and all the good stuff they're doing. But you have to give
Okay.
it to them. Do you know what they give it to? They say, "Professor, I know
Okay.
you. I came to brag. And you are probably right. I'm here to brag about my success and everything. But I just want to let you all know one thing. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here, right?" And
Okay.
that made everything okay.
Okay, right, all right. I wanted to concede you guys probably did receive, including Dr. Ra, what you deserve. I mean, you guys to us went above and beyond.
I
So.
would say that the last trip I my retirement was calculated at having worked there for 34 years. But
Okay. Oh.
the last check I got without any deductions, before any deduction, I multiplied it by 12, and I still didn't make a six-figure salary.
All right.
And
Okay.
that still bothers me.
He, you have any questions? He, you there?
Yes, I am, Professor Ra. How you doing, brother?
All right.
I want to give you my condolences for your sister and your longtime friend and brother-in-law and your nephew.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank
Your
you very
brothers
much.
for
Thank you. Yeah.
your pass from AIDS and
Yes.
and your as far as your diabetes, that's a nasty business. And it seems to be really something that's really visible in our people. In fact, my childhood friend had his leg amputated today. They gave about 6 months to live. And then we have another really close friend of mine who is a graduate of Cal State University Long Beach, who just had a kidney transplant, and he's doing much better. I'm so glad to hear that.
By the way, my son also had a transplant. And he,
Yes.
yeah.
That's it. I have you in my thoughts, Professor.
Thank you.
In Uganda, as you said, they have an election tomorrow, and there's been words thrown around like Museveni, the current president, has been described as a dictator, and his opposition party leader, Mr. Wine, they said that they fear violence with this election, and also the internet has been shut down ahead of time. What are the consequences of this election in Uganda? And also, I just wanted to comment on the orphans of Uganda. Years ago, they was a couple of busloads of children who were who's had were orphans who had lost their parents to AIDS. And they came and performed here in Detroit at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And I'm telling you, from when those drums started and the hair on the back of my neck and all of my body just stood out. And the way those children performed was like the people just got to shouting. And I'm talking about it was a spiritual thing with them. It seems that nobody in Uganda has not been touched by this disease. And it apparently seems to still be a problem almost like a plague in Uganda. I just want your opinions on those two things, the election and the consistency of the tenacity of that disease in Uganda.
About the elections, I think it all depends on the reaction of the people. The young man that you talked about stood against Museveni in the previous, elections and probably the one before that, I don't know. Okay. But what happened back then is that, the elections were over and Museveni declare
We
the what
just put in the fridge.
having won the So this guy started trying to say, no, these guys are not right, I got elected, blah 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 blah, so and 7 B, he sent the army to his house and he told him, look, if I were you, I would stay right here in your house and shut up. At least for a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months. Okay? And then they went out. And I guess he got the message. And so that was the end of that. So I'm saying that back then, even what happens in other countries and so forth, for someone who wanted to save his life, I think that the president, the army, whatever have you, are very generous to just leave him alone. That. What is going to happen this time? I don't know. It all depends on as the election come out, who is declared the winner, but most importantly, who the response of this younger man is. If, from what I hear, I think that what is the troubling Ugandans, especially myself and others who have got a family there, is that this time around, there is a possibility that this young man and the younger people, especially the older people like myself, we don't seem to be, we say, okay, we lived all our lives and then suddenly, we learned how to get along and that's okay. But the young people in their late 20s, early 30s, and so forth, I think they want change and probably they might be more willing to sacrifice more, for the change that they want. And they might be emboldened. That's the big word I'm looking for. Emboldened, bold, by what's happening in Iran. And if that happens, then who knows? So far we hear the about close to about 1,000 people who have died in the protests in Iran. What might happen to Iran? I don't know. But we are all praying. We are all praying.
Me too.
As far as AIDS is concerned, that's what I was talking to you about. My Uganda, my what I'm doing with my life right now. I'm working hard to continue to support those kids who don't really have any support. They don't have any parents. They don't have any relatives left. And if they have like a grandmother or
That you're wrong.
those
You're not.
people, other words, they're not able to help them. So we started this organization to help them. It takes about $2,000 a year to support a child. That means if that child is in elementary school, that means paying for their school fees, their uniform, their medical expenses, transportation, and things like that. And the people come in and they say, can I sponsor a child? I mean, maybe can I financially for him? And that's the appeal that I made. I'm making two guys who are listening to me right now. Of course, if you don't have that kind of money to sponsor channel yourself, you can just sponsor the organization, whatever you call, $100 here, $200. I have quite a few of my former students at Castle Rambier who have joined me, who, you know, and that way, that's the thing, you know, that makes me feel very good. Okay, did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And I'd like to know where I can send my donors.
Okay, can you, we have here something called, where do you click to see what people like?
V, you can give me the address and I can share it with him and other people online
Okay,
and
and
other
give
people
him my what? Give your team also
where
my,
to send the money,
how your
where to
name and
send.
address. What's your name, sir? What's your name?
I hear. I
AHI.
AHI, yes, sir.
Okay. I'll contact Professor. I mean, Professor Roy has got your contact information, right?
Yes, he
Yes.
does.
Yeah, and he also has mine.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll
So he
get
will
you
put
in
us
contact
together.
with him. He offline. I'll get you his number.
Okay,
Yes,
thank you.
sir.
Okay. Barashi Key, you have any questions?
No questions. I'm just thinking about Dr. Sinsalo, and I was in his class, what, about 33 years ago. So it's just, I'm just glad you're still around and you're here sharing with us
Who is
some,
talking?
Roski Mascani.
Mascani, I don't see you. I see free. He,
Here I am.
right? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm just glad that you're still here and giving us this excellent information and sharing your experiences with us, because it's like being back at the school, because I'm here with Professor Ra all the time, and then when you come on, and then we had Karanga, Dr. Karanga. It's just a real treat to have you guys around and doing what you do, and so I just want to thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you very
Yeah.
much, sir. And thank
Okay.
you for being here with us today.
Dr. Sharita, are you there? Dr. Sharita goes to Africa a lot, and she operates a health food store, and she does a lot of health issues on the continent. But she's probably just listening, or she may be in Africa and can't come through. But Dr.
Greetings, greetings, family.
All right.
I was, come on real quick. I'm actually back, just got back to LA, back to the snakes.
You're okay.
Yeah,
Welcome, Dr. Sarita.
yeah, I just wanted to just chime in tonight because of you know, I like to see living legends. You learn a lot without having to really say a lot, you know. So I'm just glad to be in the presence. And yeah, I do. I'm a repatriate to Ghana, West Africa. This year is my 20th year celebration
In
of
Uganda?
being in Ghana, West Africa. So,
In Ghana.
yeah, I live there,
And you
and I
haven't
come
been to Uganda.
and I visit here.
Okay. When are you coming to Uganda?
I'm sorry.
When are you coming to Uganda?
When you invite me.
Yo, you are invited. I think I'm going to go around Easter this year. Depends on the, you know, what happens after the election.
That's around the time I'm going back. Yeah.
Okay.
All
You
right.
go back via Uganda. You can back
Okay, we're being recorded.
yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for
Thank
being
you.
B, first of all, man, you look great and you sound great. I know you've been through a lot of health issues like me. And that's why I missed your party. I probably was in the hospital at the time you had your party. But let me just say this to you. We deeply appreciate what you've shared with us this evening. And we deeply appreciate the challenges that you have come through, that you've made it through. And I think that, you know, you have the right perspective and preparation for transition and all the challenges that you've gone through with family and loved ones and what's going through on the continent and even here in this country. With your family, Igor, and all your brother, your children, and You've been working with Lula, the dance troupe, for years. I remember when they first started, your daughters danced with them. And I remember that. And you've been instrumental in keeping Black studies and Africana studies going at Cal State Long Beach, even though you haven't taught there. And I haven't been there in 20-some years. You haven't been there in 20-some years.
Yeah.
But our legacy is there because you laid the foundation. You were very instrumental in the early administration. You were the former chair. You were one of the leading professors that all the students came to and loved your class, and you was always active on campus and involved in Black History Month and whatever you could do to help students. You made the contributions, and many students always ask about you every time I see him. How's Dr. Santalo? How's he doing? And we deeply appreciate your presentation this evening. Won't keep you long because I know you got to take meds and do what you got to do. But we do want to thank you for being here and sharing your wealth of knowledge. But as I said before, brother, you look great and you sound great. What else can we say other than we wish you well, your family well? Your wife was a counselor at Cypress. And she had me speak there for Kwanzaa once and a couple other times.
Right.
And I mean, me and your family is just close. My wife is close. And we always ask about you. And we just want to say thank you for coming on. Brother Rashiki, who we got tomorrow? Are we going to have anything tomorrow? You're on mute.
Let me show you. Here we go, everybody. We got Dr. Inky's coming on, and the topic is self-love.
Self-love?
Self-love, yep.
Dr. Inky.
Inky, yeah, Inky Real.
Okay. Yes, and we want to also say that we have very excellent show with Ricks. What was his name?
Willie Ricks,
who was
Mukasa Donald.
Mukasa, who was instrumental in starting the Black Power sign and the Black Power slogan, him and Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael. And we had a good show that he was on. What was the name of the group that brought him on?
Right. That was Message to the Black Diaspora. I can show that also.
Okay.
So just in case anybody want to see it, they can go back and see it.
And
this is our YouTube channel right here. And let me go to the videos. Where is it? It's Dr. Sangoon. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, yes.
Right there. Mukasa Donald.
I thought we only had audio online. But you can get the videos too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the YouTube channel.
And Dr. Sansalo?
Yes.
This will be on YouTube too.
Okay. And this is when?
He's gonna put it on tomorrow.
Okay.
So if any of your family members want to see your presentation,
okay.
or any students, it'll be on YouTube on the Community Education Network. Okay. Again, we want to thank you again, Beads. There's so much, and I know this is a strain. You know, we generally past our bedtime, you know. But at the same time, we want to thank everybody. Also, I want to tell Rasha Key, he just made another musical. He made a song, a song called "Don't Let the Oppressor Be Your Teacher."
Mm-hmm.
And did you play a little bit of it, Rasha Key?
Yeah, I can. I gotta share the sound.
Yeah, he put his reggae touch on that. Don't let the oppressor be your teacher.
All right, let's listen to this version.
Information.
Oh, yeah.
Sending constant light in this dark situation. Rock and Bon Fuller and Malcolm too. Martin Garvey, Carly, they all knew the truth. Oh, yeah. Kwame Sankara, Lumumba stood tall. Selassie, Douglas, or Jonathan Tubman, they gave it all. They all have one thing in common, and the bottom line is calling. Don't let your oppressor be your teacher. Don't let them write your story.
Don't let them be your preacher.
Come be like them, cause they're not like us. You lose your soul, your truth, your trust. Don't let your oppressor be your teacher. Stand strong, stand tall, be your own believer. Well, yeah. The lessons they teach are oh, not to be. They change the mind so you'll never be free. They twist the truth, dress it like grace, but they fear your power, your pride, your face. Every word from our ancestors is flame, a call to rise, to reclaim our name. From the roots to the sky, from the blood to the page, we stand on giants, we carry their rage. Don't let your oppressor be your teacher. Don't let them shape your children.
Got enough, Rock?
Yeah, man, that's beautiful. Hey, y'all want to hear the whole thing? I posted it, and Rasha Key, that whole music is beautiful. And Dr. Sansando, again, what can I say other than thank you, thank you, thank you, Chair Renee? I said thank you for helping me get online.
Amenua,
yes.
Can you hear me?
I can't hear you.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to insert one little last piece of information. Today, a very important person died. And this is the young lady whose name I can't remember, but if I, you know, Google and ask around, it will get back to me. This young lady who was the first person to
report. Oh, yeah, Clay Craven, the lady that sat on the bus.
Yeah, to refuse to give up her seat to a white person on that bus. Rosa Parks was not the one. Rosa Parks came much later on. And the reason why the NAACP did not, you know, get around this young person is because she was pregnant and she was sick. She was not married. So they didn't think she would make a good image of the Baptist Church and of the NAACP and all of that. But later on, here comes the Rosa Parks, and she does exactly the same thing. This you know, starts. So it's very, very important for us as Black people to know the exact truth instead of just, you know, some of the information that makes it sound. So everybody hears about Rosa Parks, Rosa Parks. But, you know, there was someone before Rosa Parks, and that young lady passed away today.
Is that Claudette Colvin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's her, Claudette Colvin.
Ah, sure.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yes, sir.
Claudette Colvin. Yes, what is it? Claudette. Yeah. And how old was she?
She 39.
She was September 5, 39 to 20 September.
86 years old.
86. Yeah, September 5, 1939,
and January 13, 2026.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot
for
that, raising
that. Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Ananda, for getting us together.
All right, and may all that she brought in the world last forever may not be lost, and may she be a glorious spirit in heaven and remain a strong presence here on earth with, among all them that knew her and what she did for us as far as the civil rights movement. Amen. Yes. All right, Roger King, everybody, we'll see y'all tomorrow.
Tanabe, Dr. Sincelo. Bless up, bless up.
Thank you.
You look great, man. Regardless of what you're going through, you're still coming through the fire and standing tall. All right. All right.
All right. Conscious corner, each one teach one. Everybody have a great evening.
You as well.
All right.